Now, let us get ready for Puja Chanting. Compose your mind, develop the Sada, then Virya, followed by Sati. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Quan Si Pusa.Namo Quan Si Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang AbhivademiSwagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami Okay.You all can be seated, then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa BhagavatoArahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Sanghang Saranang GacchamiDetiampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Detiampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Detiampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiampi Buddhang Saranang GacchamiTatiampi Dhammang Saranang GacchamiTatiampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang SamadhiyamiNow we will chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambutang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutenaDopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bacana mutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindasaSiri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nena Punnena Matena Chaho Tumokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vinasabhavang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatumutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigan Hatumutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaye Patigan Hatumutamang. We will now do the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding or darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear, pure, and cool water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Somebody outside had to open the door for them. Making our overall aspiration. By the power of these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us be respect to Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. So today is the 20th July, 2017, Thursday. We are having our class at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house. We are now off the light so that you all can have your meditation. I will give you maybe 35 minutes. Today we are early. You can meditate for 35 minutes. Just relax body and mind. And remember the four support to meditation. Relax into whatever mind state that arises. Whether it is a restless mind. Whether when you have a mind state that has a lot of thinking. Or when you sit after a while, if there is any pain or numbness or what, you just relax into it. That is very important. And when you are relaxed, whatever pain or numbness, they will slowly, slowly dissipate. Then remember not to label them as pleasant or unpleasant sense experience. If you do that, mental hindrance will arise in your mind without you realizing it, because you are not sensitive, your mindfulness is not clear, not stable, and you don't have the ability to feel them. That's why you continue with your heedlessness, habitual tendency to label, to react, and create dislike or unpleasant sensation. And when you label it pain or unpleasant feeling, it becomes mental hindrance. Then it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So don't labor, just feel. Then when you realize that it is not relaxed, because the sensation will indicate to you that you are not relaxed, then you relax it. When you don't labor, no mental hindrance, if you relax, the second support will come through. Maintain awareness, just aware, silent. Don't try to know, just silent. Whatever arises, let it arise. The thought, they will come, they will go. You don't give it any more meaning, it will just settle down on its own. The mental activity will slow down. Then when you relax into every mind state, you become more quiet, more peaceful. That's how you develop your tranquility of mind, or stillness of mind. And finally, the silent mind that is very quiet, very peaceful. When you are mindful, aware, without thought, you are peaceful. You will experience a lot of calmness leading to all the good mind states. Sati can bring about piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. These are for people who already know how to meditate. And your spiritual faculty is already more or less established. But if you still have problem with your spiritual faculty, the mental hindrances are still actively disturbing you, and you find it difficult to relax and calm down, then you can use the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, then combine with metta, then finally, when you are more quiet, use anapanasati to stabilize it, to calm your mind down. That's how you develop the training. So now I will let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell in about 30 minutes time. those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. And try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. You have to maintain them for as long as you can. Then stabilize it in the midst of life. Then use it to meditate in life, to develop the daily mindfulness. That will be the real Satipatthana meditation. The fourth foundation of mindfulness has to be done in the midst of life when you are active and yet ever mindful. Okay, now turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas in this universe in their entirety. Let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Then we will chant the Pali. Samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakkabokkhadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato. Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vicca carana sampanno sugato kavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva nusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yatitang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, Dakiniyo Anjali Karaniyo Anuterang Punya Ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Bedang Puja me. Damang Puja me. Sanghang Puja me. Okay, you can be seated. Then we'll continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. If you got any question regarding the meditation, the teaching, or how you can apply what you have learned here to use it to understand clearly the life process. What life is. Unless you understand the Dhamma, you will not understand life. And you don't understand life, you cannot live life. Then you have problem in life. Basically, it is as simple as that. That's why the teaching is very important. The teaching is about the secret of life. This teaching is very unique because the Buddha is so wise. He was able to summarize to you all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane, all into the essence of his teaching. He called the Four Noble Truths. And these are called Noble Truths because if you understand them and if you can develop the understanding of it and awaken to what he has taught you, it can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. That's why they are called noble truth. Truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. During the time of the Buddha, enlightened ones are called noble ones. The reason being, enlightened beings, they are very noble in every aspect of their life. They are very noble in their understanding of the nature's law that governs life and existence. Means they have right view, right understanding, they got wisdom. Then they are very noble in the way they interact with society, with people, with the world. They can interact via action, speech and thought process. That's why they are very, very noble in their way they arise, their speech, they communicate with you. And the way they act, they are very noble. They have very beautiful qualities. Then their thought process are so beautiful. They can only arise positive, right thought, without any evil root, no negativity. And because of their ability to act this way, they are a blessing to all. Then they also have the right understanding to live life accordingly, appropriately. Then they are constantly mindful, heedful. Then they have the four right effort to constantly purify themselves, develop the understanding. Then of course they are ever mindful and their mind are collected and unwavering. So the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factors, they have them all. That's why they are called Noble Ones, Enlightened Ones. So this is to explain to you why you have to learn this teaching, while you had to meditate to awaken to this teaching. And the main thing about meditation is initially trying to train your mind to be aware, silent, peaceful, so that this mind is not heedless anymore, not restless anymore, so that the five mental hindrances are no more there to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, so that this mind can become different. To do this, you have to develop the five spiritual faculties. That's what our class is all about. We start by having this puja to develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, leading to virya, then mindfulness. Everything we do, we develop mindfulness. Even when we move forward to light the candles or incense, we do it mindfully. Then when we see people make offering, we are mindful and we rejoice. Even when you rejoice mindfully with awareness from within. Then as you receive the offering, again, mindful. Then as you sadhu or rejoice, you are mindful. As you pass it over, you are mindful. And the whole process, you are ever mindful. Then when you pay respect, you develop mindfulness. Then when your mindfulness becomes very stable, every action, every movement, you are aware, even while standing. Like just exactly like what the Satipatthana described under Sati Sampajana cultivation. Clear comprehension. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. So like the Buddha says, standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware. Then whatever you do, whether you are eating, drinking, or putting on your clothing, you are aware. Answering nature's call, you are aware. Driving, working, planning, scheming, doing whatever thing, you are aware. So this is the training that you need to develop. Then when sadha, virya, sati is developed, it will stabilize and accumulate into samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you have clarity. Your mind is unwavering and collected. That's why you can see things as they are and insight into all of phenomena to awaken to their universal characteristics or impermanent suffering state, non-self and empty nature, the three universal characteristics. Then you will also understand many things through that silence. You will see yourself in action, see yourself in life, how you arise, how you manifest, how your form and mind interact. And you will witness within your own life all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach, the dependent origination. It will explain to you clearly who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. You will be able to see all the essential Dhamma that the Buddha talked about, the five mental hindrances, the five spiritual faculties, the three roots, the four noble truths, the seven factors of enlightenment, and all the other related teaching. Then you can get to investigate the Dhamma. Then you can also make full use of this mind that is trained to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. Noble Eightfold Path, then it can bring about wholesomeness, merits, meritorious action, And through all this cultivation, you will develop wisdom, understanding, to straighten your view, to liberate your mind, to do away with the self-delusion, sakadity, and root out ignorance. Yeah. And when your mind gets liberated, it transforms and is no longer like before. It's not deluded by the phenomenal world anymore. Nothing can stir it. Nothing can disturb it and cause it to be unhappy. So that mind that is liberated can be free of all suffering. Then there is only joy, only peace, only clarity. Yeah. Then the reality is so different. Everything is so clear, so peaceful. Life is so meaningful. Yeah. There is so much joy in life. There is so much wholesomeness. Then you will also start to appreciate life more, give more meaning to life. Then you will have a lot of love, compassion, kindness, goodness. That's how you can be a blessing to all of humanity. So this is the beauty of this teaching, this Dhamma. So hopefully it will spur you to cultivate, to give you faith so that you can move from there. That faith will bring about the spiritual zeal. Then you will be committed to cultivate. That's how sati come about. If you are determined to do it, it will come. When sati come, heedfulness will arise, because with sati, it will accumulate into samadhi. And when you learn how to meditate, to train your mind to be quiet, to be peaceful and aware within, you will realize the silent mind, bhasati, the meditative mind. Then you use this meditative mind to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path in the midst of life, the four foundation of mindfulness in the midst of life. That is the real meditation. Okay, now we open it up. If you want to report meditation, just raise your hand. Or you want to ask any question, you can just raise your hand. Okay, yeah, pass it to Elsie, the mic. Yeah.
Good evening, Brother Teo. After 2 years of meditation, I still feel that my heartbeat and vibration throughout the meditation. Yeah. Is it because I'm not, still not?
No, you can feel it's very good.
But throughout the meditation, I mean.
Yeah. So what are you doing when you are feeling all this vibration, movement? You're supposed to? What are you supposed to do? In the name of meditation, what are you doing there? Is it just to feel vibration?
Relax.
No, that is a false support. Okay, I write down stage by stage so that you can understand. That's why when I started just now, I mentioned you have to remember the four support for awareness-based meditation. So this four support will remind you. Four support. Four. Awareness-based meditation. This one you have to understand clearly. So first support is, what is it? Relax. Then, second support, maintain awareness. Then 24 hours means make it continuous. If you can, you should be ever mindful throughout the day. Yeah? Ever mindful. Means the stability of it. Then finally is trust. No more the thought meditating. Yeah? This one is to penetrate your nature. This one you don't do until later. Penetrate all, connect to your nature. No more thought involved. Eh? No more thought involved. Involved. Eh? So these are the four support that will support your meditation. So you have to remember whatever happened, relax into it. So when you can feel all the vibration, everything, did you relax into it? When you relax into it, it will become different. Because you are not trying to know. You are not trying to do anything. That's why the real meditation is just silent. When you're silent, whatever vibration initially that is very gross, it will slow down and become very, very quiet. Then finally it becomes very still. That is what pasati is all about. Whether it's the object of meditation or feeling the vibration or whatever, it is still the same. It will have to lead to awareness. That's why after you relax, you just maintain awareness. Don't try to question, don't try to know. Just relax, aware. Because what are you doing? In the name of meditation. Yeah? Can recall that. What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Yeah? You have to develop. You have to develop what? Dhammapada verse 21. Yeah? Heedfulness. So all of meditation comes from there. What is heedfulness? Heedfulness got two parts, as explained by Dhammapada verse 23. To be heedful, you must be ever mindful, not only mindful. The constantly meditative, ever mindful, they will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. So if you want to meditate to be enlightened, you must have this quality of what I call heedfulness. And to be heedful, like I explained in the Klang talk and in many of my sharing, you have to have these two. Heedfulness is to be. Heedfulness is equals to ever mindful. Ever mindful. Plus constantly. Meditative. So this is what meditation is all about. You can be, meditative. You can be constantly meditative and ever mindful, then you will be enlightened. You will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. Ever mindful means you have to train your mind to be mindful first. Then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then only use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's like constantly meditative. And this one is constantly meditative is cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha. cultivating the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And what is this? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? Which is what? What do you cultivate? Out of the Four Noble Truths, which is the meditation? The Fourth Noble Truth say you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will lead to what? If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, you will lead to what? Wisdom is correct, but the main thing is the end of all suffering. That's why you meditate to end all suffering. That's how you become enlightened. And yet you cannot recall this. Then how are you going to meditate? You must meditate with understanding. So basically the meditation as taught by the Buddha is Noble Eightfold Path. And within this Noble Eightfold Path, the seventh power factor is sati. That's why you have the four foundation of mindfulness. And that's how the teaching come about. And you have to be very clear about this. Means you develop the training of the mind to be mindful, stabilize it, make it ever mindful. Then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness, which is basically your daily mindfulness. After you have your four foundations of mindfulness, you have your initial wisdom, then you reflect and contemplate and develop the first power factor of right view. By then, you will understand all the right view, the law of karma. You will see them happening. You will be able to investigate Dhamma. That's why the first factor of enlightenment is sati. You have to develop sati, mindful. After you mindful, stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then when your mindfulness is very stable, you can investigate the teaching, the Dhamma. Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. The tweet verse. The complementary twin verse. The Buddha explained very clearly, your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's why you have to take care of mind. Take care of mind means train this mind to be mindful, to be aware, to be heedful, so that you will act, speak, and think with a heedful mind, with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then only your life can change. Then only, the Buddha said, happiness will follow you, like your shadow that never leaves you. But if you don't train your mind, if you allow this mind to do what it like, means heedless. When you are heedless, means you don't care. You don't believe anything. So you let this simply do things. So what happens when you do not train your mind, when you let it become what it is, heedless? The heedless mind will act, speak, and think with a heedless mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then what happens? Suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. You can put this to test. You can check. When the evil roots are there, are you happy? Or are you stressful? Or are you suffering? When you got anger, greed, selfishness, lustfulness, desire, covetousness, emotion, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, restlessness. These are all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you have this mind state, you become evil. You become afflicted. You not only hit out at people, your karma will fall. Then the friction of it will bring forth the coming negativity and make you miserable, suffer. When you get angry, you're stressful. When you have lust, craving, desire, it kills you. It makes you evil, lustful, greedy, selfish. So all this is very clear. When you are mindful, you can see all this. Then when you are heedful, when you apply the four right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, then you live life according to noble eightfold path with right view, leading to right thought, right spirit. You are so beautiful. You have goodness. You are incapable of negativity. You have right thought, wholesome thought, that brings about understanding, harmony, goodness, kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, respect, gratitude, contentment, generosity. And all these are very wholesome. So this is what the Dhamma is. So when you meditate, coming back to Elsie's question, what are you doing in the name of meditation? If you know Dhammapada verse 21, what must you do? You are there to train your mind to be. What is the first requirement of heedfulness? Huh? Mindfulness. Without mindfulness, you cannot be ever mindful, understand? So all of meditation points towards training your mind to be mindful. And why must you train your mind to be mindful? Because if it's not mindful, you cannot be ever mindful. You become heedless, and the heedless are as if dead. Get this clear, right? Then when you know that your purpose of meditation is to train your mind to be aware, then it's very easy. So your question will be answered by itself. You understand? You follow that. Means when you lie down and meditate or sit and meditate, like last time when you went through, you start to understand by being silent and aware, your mindfulness become more sensitive and you can be aware of many things. Then initially, you can be aware of all this vibration in you, the breathing, the whatever. Then this vibration, everything, yeah, as they arise, if you are aware, you have to relax into it. If you relax into it, they will become very quiet, very peaceful. They will transform. Because you are too actively trying to know. You understand? When you want to know whether you progress or you are not progressing, that is knowledge. That is not the silent mind. That is the silent, which is initially the awareness when you are aware, but immediately the perception comes in. The thought comes in. Or thinking that if I can be aware of all this vibration, I have progressed, which is correct. But meditation is not about having the ability to be aware, then you progress, etc. You have to stabilize that mindfulness. You use the mind. Sit on the couch there. Don't worry. Come. No. Sit there. Sit on the couch. Okay. No. Sit on the couch. Go.
Yes, there's a chair. So.
Okay.
When we use the word ever mindfulness. Is there a difference between ever mindfulness and concentration?
Sure, there is a big difference. Concentrate means you focus. You understand? When you concentrate means you focus. Focus means you fix your thought. You don't allow it to think of it. No, not of yet. Okay. Otherwise, there is no distortion. You understand what is the difference between aware and concentrate? Aware means no thought. That's it. Concentrate means you focus. Your thought is doing something. You try to focus on one point. That's why they become one-pointedness. Energy field. Use the mind.
So when you begin time, of course we have a lot of thoughts.
So what do you do?
I know the relax is there, but But the thought is still there. But you did mention that.
No, so what do you do?
Just let it be.
Did you do that? You don't go and worry about the thought. Don't go and say, I'm not meditating so much of this thought. I am still heedless. If you say like that, your mind state is already negative. Means you got dislike for the thought. What is dislike? Evil root. Aversion. Which is one of the mental hindrances. Sensual desire and ill will. So, don't label it. Just have the understanding. The untrained mind will think a lot. The untrained mind is heedless. That is the reality. If I accept, what happened? If I come to terms with that reality, what happened to you? You are at peace. Well, you are not struggling to be peaceful. Understand or not? You don't want to do anything. Then what happened? You don't labor anymore. You don't say, I am heedless. I still have a lot of thought. All this is self-delusion, psychiatry. Then the mind want to be peaceful. That is where the duality come in and knock you off the meditation. When you want to be peaceful, what do? The mind try to do many things. Try not to think. Try to focus. Try to concentrate. Then you see the word relax, you try to relax, but you don't know how to relax. Understand? Relax means what? Like you're very tired. Don't try to do anything. Just let the body and mind relax. Then see what happens. If you don't label, there is no mental hindrance. Then what happens? The awareness will take over. Then you become aware by its own. The thought will slow down and finally cease. Then the awareness will take over. There is no more mental hindrance. That's why the first thing is to relax into every mind state. Don't do anything. The thought will arise. Then it will pass away. Then you don't give meaning to it. Don't try to fight it or suppress it or control it or make it peaceful. What happened? Like the dog. You try to make him quiet, don't bark. You try to warn him, use a stick and hit him. He is not going to stop. He will bark more. Understand? But if you let the dog be, after a while, he got no more energy to bark. Because nobody disturb him. Then you are quiet down. Then you will go to sleep. The mundane mind is like that. You don't give it any more stimulant. Don't give it any more meaning. Don't fight it. Don't suppress. Don't control. Just let it be. Then when there is no more mental energy and delusion or wrong view, then this mind cannot think, cannot continue its activity. The activity continue is because in the midst of life, you have your senses all fully engaged and you keep on stirring it, creating mental hindrance. That's why it's never peaceful. Well, the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance, they are the hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative peace or inner peace and inner awareness. So, if you let it be, it will finally return to normalcy. But for it to return to normalcy, your spiritual faculty has to be there. That's why when you just relax and silent, don't do anything. When the thought ceases, you are aware straight away. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. That's why you must know how to meditate. Meditate means relax into it and silent. Don't do anything. Then when it hits the silence, the awareness arises, your form and mind will know. Then don't get excited. Then inside there, don't talk. Understand? Don't chatter. Just like last night, or Tuesday night, Tammy discussed with me. He said at the retreat, so quiet. He see there is one mind that is aware of this mind chattering, thinking, doing all this funny thing, then expressing his view. Then he realized this second mind that is aware also got view, also express, also complain, also react. This is the thought. If it's just aware, it doesn't do anything. It just understands that the untrained mind that has wrong view will react, stir, and become heedless. That is what awareness is all about, sati. That's why in the Satipatthana, it's very clearly explained. When you are aware, you will be able to see how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, how it arises. Then if you continue to be aware, you will come to know how it sees, how the arisen mental hindrance sees. It's just like the Buddha asked Ananda to go and get water for him. You remember? The clear water? Every time the blockade goes over the pool of water, the water becomes murky. He cannot collect. He told the Buddha, it's not appropriate because the water is still muddy. Then the Buddha asked him to go again. Second time, still the same. Then later on, middle of the night, where there is no more traffic, then Ananda went. Then he saw, by not doing anything, not stirring the thing, there is clarity. And your mind is the same. You don't react, don't stir. Don't arise mental hindrance. You will be quiet. With the natural state of mind, before the stirring, before the movement, is stillness. It's just aware. It is. That is your true mind. That's why when you understand that, you will come to this clear understanding that meditation is not to do anything. The doing is by the thought. The thought will make you heedless. And the thought will tell you story. That's why this becomes thought-based meditation. And what we are doing here is we are developing awareness-based meditation. We just aware. Aware means silent, no thought. So when you meditate, relax. And you understand clearly why are you meditating, the purpose of meditation. The Buddha's teaching is very clear. I'm here to train my mind. So the Buddha's teaching say, initially, if your spiritual faculty is not there, you have to train your mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the heedless mind, and how to train. There are two ways to train. First, mind-sweeping method. You just feel, relax. No more thinking. That's how you decondition your heedless thinking. When you feel, you cannot think. Understand? Because you only feel. But when you feel and labor, wow, this sensation is very nice. Or this vibration is very nice. But I can feel it. Other people cannot. The ego come in. The thought come in. But meditation is not to look for all this mind state. Well, this mind state are just condition arising state. When you understand, it becomes beautiful. When you don't understand, it becomes a hindrance. Your meditation is to develop understanding, wisdom, to liberate your mind, to straighten your views, not to experience all those fantastic mind states. Of course, it will come as a byproduct when you know how to meditate. Well, without the mental hindrance, you are most of the time aware, peaceful. There is clarity of mind, silent, just aware. Then you will experience pity, leading to all the good mind state. Then finally, when it becomes so quiet until so still, that is the meditative mind, the silent mind, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, or we call paucity. So it's like your object of meditation. Initially, if there is a lot of this movement, you use your mind-sweeping method to stabilize it so that it can bring about the deconditioning of the heedless thinking. Then when you can bring about the deconditioning of heedless thinking, you will have inner peace, because when there is no more thought, there is inner peace. Inner peace will bring about inner calmness. Then you need well-being. That's why you combine with metta. You radiate love and metta to yourself. Then when you have inner peace and inner well-being, there is joy. That's how pity will arise. Then when there is pity, you relax into it again. Then it becomes more refined. Then you experience sukha. Then you don't attach, relax into it again. It will transform into paucity, tranquility of mind still. Then you become very quiet, very still. No more thought, movement. The mind becomes so still, so quiet. Then if you want to stabilize that sati or pasati, you can use whatever skillful means, like anapanasati, or then you use it to be a training tool to anchor your mind and to develop mindfulness of the in and out breath. That is what the Buddha recommends, anapanasati. Just in and out breath, aware. Don't do anything. Then when you are aware, you relax into it, because the energy will build up. It will make you calm, peaceful. Then you not only experience piti, you will experience sukha. Then if you're not careful, you will go into jhana. Even the continuous mindfulness will go into absorption, not one-pointedness. You become very absorbed into that mind. Very calm, very still, no thought. But that one is the conditioned state. So you just relax. When you relax, it will not go into the conditioned state. Then when the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very still, they call it tranquility of mind, pasati. Now when you hit pasati, you just don't do anything. Don't even go and consider sitting, touching. You arise the mind again. You just silence everything and just relax into it. And let it be. Then you need to go to the heart, go to the heart. Because by then your mindfulness is very sensitive. Then you will hear your heartbeat. Initially your heartbeat is like very loud. Pupa, pupa, pupa. But as you continue to relax into it and silent, it becomes quiet, quiet, quiet. Until finally it's so subtle like no more heartbeat. Then don't panic, don't fear. Then continue to relax into it and silent. Then you will come to a point where you will come to understand your mind enters sati. When your mind enters sati, means your mind is ever mindful in sati without you knowing. Then during that time, any slightest movement you do, because you cannot sit still most of the time, whatever movement you do, it can be very, very subtle or very small movement. But because of your sati, it's like magnified. It's like there is a lot of movement and you can feel a lot of things. Even the breathing become very slow, subtle, like no more breathing. But when you silence your mind until it's so quiet and so still, you actually reach another level of mindfulness. We call it the more refined mindfulness. Then this more refined mindfulness enters stillness. Completely no more thought, like ever mindful. Means the mind is in sati. Then when that state happens, even the very subtle breathing, the subtle movement or whatever is magnified. Then that time when the breath comes back, that whole lot of breath is so clear to you. That mindfulness of the in and out breath, the whole movement is very clear. Every stage of it is very clear. You have to experience it to understand all this. Then don't be excited when you can do all this. As the key understanding is, that is just the beginning of training. Asana. When you can be mindful, it's just the beginning. Then you have to stabilize that and bring that into the daily mindfulness. That is the beginning of real meditation. So just do when you have this understanding. That is what the real meditation is all about. Can't follow. That's why go back to the understanding. Ask yourself, inquire, what am I doing in the name of meditation? What did the Buddha say? If my spiritual faculty is not there, mental hindrance will be active. So what must I do? I must train my mind to have the spiritual faculty. That's why we have puja. That's why we reflect on the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Salutation to the Triple Gem. So that we understand what is the Buddha, who is the Buddha, and what constitutes the Dhamma, the characteristic of the Dhamma, and the quality of the Sangha, enlightened disciple of the Buddha. But if you take refuge in them, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, the Triple Gem, and you don't know what they are, then you are deceiving yourself, you understand? Then when you know what they are and you take refuge, it becomes meaningful. Then when you know what they are, especially the Dhamma, when you meditate, you will know whether you have done it correctly or not. If you meditate and you cannot realize the Dhamma as expounded by the Buddha in the salutation to the Dhamma. Means this Dhamma is the characteristic of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Buddha, the Dhamma by the Buddha. That's why you start with Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Means well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then what are the characteristics of this Dhamma? This Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and now. No need to wait till that. Then when you see, you already have the Dhamma or understanding or the enlightenment, you check whether it's the here and the now or not. Or you have to wait till you die only you can know. Then it's not sanditiko. Then akaliko. This Dhamma that can be realized is beyond thought, beyond time. It's your mind state and your understanding beyond thought, beyond mind. Do you have to remember anything? Do you need thought to arise it? You cannot be in the state of akaliko, then that is not the Dhamma taught by the Buddha. Yeah. That's why sanditiko, akaliko, then ehipaseko. This Dhamma stand up to investigation. You investigate into it. Does it stand up to investigation? The thing that you have realized, which are the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. Then the last one is, after ehipaseko, opanayiko, does it lead inward into your heart? Then last one is pachetang. This Dhamma, this truth, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. No more doubt, no more question. You don't have to ask around. You don't have to ask the monk, ask Brother Teo, is this correct? Am I doing it correct? Is this the one that the Buddha talked about? You got this doubt, it's not pachetang. Means you are not the wise one. The wise one, they will know what this thing is. That's why there is no question. Because this Dhamma can be realized by the wise, only each for themselves. Nobody else can understand this Dhamma. You have to awaken to it. So when you understand all this, then the teaching becomes very simple. Then you know how to follow the teaching, to meditate according to understanding. That's why I say you have to meditate with understanding. So the first understanding is, if my spiritual faculty is not there, I train. I reflect, I contemplate while I do the puja and all those things. So I develop sadhavirya through understanding who the Buddha is and how wonderful the teaching is. We have gone through many times. Then after that, you allow the virya, spiritual zeal, to drive you to cultivate. That's how you develop mindfulness. While you do your puja, while you pay respect, every action, every move, I already told you, learn to be mindful in the midst of life. Start from there. Then when you are starting to be mindful, when you meditate, when you sit or relax and silent, very easy, where the sati is there already. That's why when your spiritual faculty is there, technically you don't need a meditation object. The moment you sit, the hindrance no more, you already in the meditative state, sati. That's why you just relax and maintain the awareness. That is what meditation is all about. Of course, initially, when you already go through this daily life, and most of the time when you are in the midst of daily life, you are not mindful because you haven't developed the stability of daily mindfulness so that you have this, what they call, there is order in your brain and in your mind. Because most people cannot. They don't have that ability. So in the midst of life, you will lose your mindfulness. You will still become heedless. So what happened is, all this heedless thinking, they already condition you. So when you want to meditate, it's not so easy to settle down. Because your spiritual faculty is not stable. If your spiritual faculty is stable, until your faith unshakable, your virya unshakable, your mindfulness unshakable, means what? Throughout the day, you are mindful. You are in a state of samadhi. Then when your wisdom is there, until so stable, every moment of consciousness, you understand. There is clarity. there is this understanding. Yoni so manasikara manifest. That's why your mind never stir anymore, never react anymore. You got no more problem with life. Everything becomes so different. You are constantly aware, mindful. Then when you have all this, you technically no need to meditate because you already have the understanding. So to be hateful is not difficult when you understand and when you train it. So what happened is, let's say in the midst of life you cannot be mindful as yet, or the mindfulness lapse, then you got this heedless condition when you come to class and want to meditate. It's okay. Like I said, when you are in the sitting posture, relax, silent, and find out what is the mind state. I still remember last time I came out in the year 1989, after I've understood this, I want to test this for my mind. What will happen to the mind if I were to push it? Whereas I come out and join the private sector, the consultant. And the consultant, you know, a lot of work. You have to read up a lot, learn a lot, because it's a totally new responsibility. Last time I used to be a client. And as a client, you have a lot of what they call time to yourself, because you can hire a consultant, you can get people to do for you. You only have to take care of your own department, your own organization. Then you can standardize your thing. Then you can actually plan your work in such a way that you are not stressed out. Because last time when I was with the semi-government, my job is very simple. If I don't have meeting, I'm free. Then I plan my work. I standardize a lot of things. Then I train my men. I delegate. That's why most of the time I'm free. Even though my job scope, they call it a madhouse. Last time they say you put 10 civil engineers there also, not enough to handle. Because it's a very, very massive responsibility, a big department. I got a lot of staff. Then I also got a few engineers. Then I got a lot of TA, technician, junior tech, then the laborers, all the workers and all those things. Then of course you got the admin staff, the clerical staff. I got my steno, I got one secretary, to stand up, because there is a lot of work to be done. So because of that, I still find that after I am familiar with my duty, my job was very free, very relaxed. So I wanted to come out to test in the private sector. So what happened was the first week when I came out, I realized I got a lot of things to do, a lot of things to read up, a lot of things to learn. Then my mind cannot do all those things, right? That's why in the car I share with them. Everything is stressful, suffering. My mind can feel, to read, to perceive, to even try to remember, to arise a thought. The suffering is there. Then after I come back, all these things that I try to read and try to remember, the mind, the nature tell me, you want to suffer, you go ahead and use the Monday by. The thinking mind. Then I got no choice because I decided to work for a private sector. So I had to do that. So what happened was, after I finished, I went back home. That time I still went to my second last teacher there to meditate, to like you all come to my class, we have our session. Then we have our discussion, our whatever Dhamma activity. So last time different. Last time when we were with her, because she's local, we more or less like camp there. Sometime morning she is free, we will go and visit her. And then after that, afternoon we will go. Then evening we will go again. That is later after we get to know her. So what happened was, when I started to work on a working day, not on a weekend, then I only go at night, because we only go at night. So go at night, like something like that. You are supposed to meditate first, then report meditation Q&A. Then when I sat and meditate, I realized, how come the Monday mind, because of what I did in the office, this thought all arise. But because I already knew what this thing is, I already have the understanding. That's why I just let it be. I just laugh and smile. I just silent. Within less than 1 minute, everything settled down. Become quiet again, still. I know, no need to do anything. Relax, aware. Go back to your normal state. And meditation becomes so easy because my spiritual faculty were very stable at that time. The only thing is when I joined the private sector, I was forced to remember things as well, forced to read, forced to use this brain and this mind again. And yet, I was able to straight away within 1 or 2 minutes stabilize it if I want to. Even in the office, I just relax, silent. Straight away, I enter stillness, calmness, peacefulness. Then, of course, later on, not long after that, the Monday mind collapsed. Yeah. After that, I got no more problem until today, because there is no more that type of mind. Then, like I say, it's temporary. It's just that phase for you to see, for you to understand, so that you can teach, so that you can share all this understanding with people. Then when the Monday mind collapsed, completely, like no mind inside there, where the other mind, the true mind, the supramundane mind, is so fine, like nothing inside there, no movement at all. The movement is so smooth, so still, like no resistance on inside there, no friction. That's why at first I was amazed. For 5 days, I remember, after it collapsed, I was wondering, what is going on? How come all of a sudden my nature shine for and fully aware, like I got no mind at all? Then the understanding came. No mind, how to live life. There must be a mind. Then I start to find out. I had to learn to how to use this supramundane mind. The new mind. This one is without image one. They call it the formless arupa. And very fine. I learned to use. Then when I am able to use it, then it returned to normal. Within a short period, I think less than a month, it returned to, like I am become normal again. Like I share with you all, initially, Kan San, Fu Shi San, see mountain, not a mountain. Then as you develop the understanding, the wisdom, then you realize all this is delusion. When you see things as they are, there is no word, no label, nothing. Then Kan San, Bu Shi San. Then mountain is not mountain. You don't have the delusion. You don't see like a mundane people. The mundane seeing will label. Then after that, after you have gone through this phase of cultivation, then when it returns back to normal, then you realize it's a matter of convention. Then you can go back to life again. Then Kan San, Yu Shi San, means everything returned back to normal, like a normal person. But if an enlightened being come and talk to you, you will also understand. You will also agree with him. You got no more duality. You got no more right and wrong. You are not rigid anymore. Do you understand? This is what the Dhamma is. So, you all should thank Elsie for the good question. So what you need is, Elsie, you have to reflect and contemplate on what is the purpose of meditation. Why do you meditate? You have to meditate with understanding. Understanding means, what did the Buddha say? What is meditation? Then how do I start? You have to start with Dhammapada verse 23. He explained it very clearly. But this verse 21 until 40, 20 Dhammapada verse, they are called Appamada Vaga, means the verses on heedfulness. And the first verse on heedfulness, which is verse 21, straight away tell you, Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. Straight away, it tells you. Then you will realize the importance of heedfulness. If I'm not heedful, I'm as if dead. I don't stand a chance. Spiritually dead. Do you want to be like that? If you don't want to be like that, then you better find out what is heedfulness. That's why he moved on to verse 22, he said. The verse 22 explains further about this heedfulness. He said, the wise one, distinctly able to differentiate between heedfulness and heedlessness. The wise will intend on heedfulness. When they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Arya. Means if they intend on heedfulness, they will become enlightened. The realm of the Aryas. The Aryas are the enlightened one. And the teaching continue after that. After that, verse 23 is to explain to you what is heedfulness. He said the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one. If you hold on to these two practices, you will realize the supreme born-free Nibbana. That's why this is heedfulness. So, to be heedful is to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. That's why throughout the day you have to be aware and use this mindfulness to cultivate. The meditation as taught by the Buddha is Noble Eightfold Path, accumulating into the four foundations of mindfulness. And if you don't do all this, you are not doing the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So can follow. You have to be very clear. That's why I say, go back, write it down. Like Mimi, write it down. Then go through it. Close your book. Don't try to remember anything. Then get a clear sheet of paper. Try to write it down. You can write it down without looking at the text or referring to anything. Then you really have to understand. Then only you can meditate with understanding. But initially, take out piece of paper. Let's say you want to start. Then you get stuck. You cannot recall. Never mind. Go and check with the Heart Sutta book. It's all there. Then listen to the recording again. Then write down point by point. Then after that, make some note. Summarize it up. Then study it like you study for exam. Study it. Then close the notes. Take out a sheet of paper. Try to write it down. If you can write it down, means you have the understanding already. Where you can recollect, you can recall, you have understood it, you have reflected on it, contemplated on it, and you have determined to make it something that is a part of you. That's how you do it. Even the Bodhisattva vow is the same. You just like parrot already after that cannot recall, it is not going to work.
Actually, my mind is calm. Only thing that when I do my meditation, so the moment I sit, I can feel my heartbeat and vibration. But it's not like you say initially. It was
very violent.
It's very gross.
Very gross.
And,
very violent.
When you quiet down, when you silent enough. Then you
no, relax. When you relax, it will quiet down.
But because for me, my meditation is throughout the whole meditation, my vibration is very strong.
Even if it's strong, you relax into it. You relax into it. You try it.
That
it will become different.
I'm not relaxed enough.
Yeah. No, you totally didn't do the relaxation. You are actually enjoying the meditation. Because this vibration, like you say, is very strong. So I have got you wrong. Yeah? I thought you say very gross. So if it's very strong, it's good. Because you are actually putting in effort. But wherever there is effort, there is no real meditation. Understand? Because effort is, there is something that is doing it. It's the energy doing it. You are not relaxed. When you are doing, you cannot be relaxed. Understand? It's just like when you are doing something. Yeah? You will normally be stressed out while doing all those things. That's why you become tired, you sweat and all those things. But relax means what? Go and take a rest. Understand? Don't do anymore. Means don't meditate anymore. Not meditating with the thought is actual meditation. Understand? The real meditation is not doing. Not doing means the thought don't do. The thought don't interfere. The thought don't think, don't stir. Don't react. Just relax. Maintain that silence. Be aware. Then everything will fall into place. Because your natural state of mind, before the stirring, before the reaction and the movement, is silent, aware, stillness. That is your natural state of mind. It's like swimming. So when you understand that the natural state of this body is buoyancy, you are lighter than water, then why must you struggle in the water, learn how to swim? You don't need to learn how to swim. You are lighter than water. So like the fish, you can just relax, silent, then the body will float up where you are lighter than water. That is your natural state of buoyancy. Your mind is the same. The original state is already stillness, silent, aware, no thought. Then why do you use the thought to stir this mind? It's like the pool of water. You don't stir it, it will be clear. Can follow? So, just understand and do. People's problem is, they thought meditation, there is somebody inside there meditating. That's why they say, teach me how to meditate. So when you ask for that, what is happening? You are asking for instruction. Correct? Instruction means what? Method, technique. Then you greedy, you say, what do you teach? Vipassana or samatha? Jhana or what? You actually a lot of delusion, a lot of greed. But you don't understand what is meditation. Meditation, according to the Buddha, is not what you think. If you are not mindful, not heedful, you cannot meditate. That's why the first factor of enlightenment is mindfulness. And this mindfulness has to be very stable until it's ever mindful. Then only it can start meditating, investigating into the Dhamma. That's why when you have this sati, then Dhamma vichaya is possible, Dhamma investigation. Then when the investigation is such that it stand up to investigation, then your faith strengthened. Your faith in the Buddha and his teaching strengthened. Then it will drive you to cultivate. So that is virya. Virya is the third enlightenment factor. So when it drives you to cultivate, you become very serious. You like never turn back. This is most important. Where you see the importance of this meditation. So when you have this virya, this spiritual zeal, it will drive you. And your cultivation becomes very different. Then your mindfulness becomes very different. It becomes so stable until you reach what they call powers or balas, unshakable. Then when that happens, you will experience pity, spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual rupture. That's how the fourth enlightenment factor come about. From sati, you investigate Dhamma, stand up to investigation, your faith become very strong, then you spur yourself through virya to cultivate. And when your virya is very strong, very stable, it will bring about stability of mindfulness, and you will progress very fast. Then that sati that is very stable will give rise to the condition for you to experience piti, sukha. Then you have to relax into it until it becomes so still, so quiet, so tranquil. Then you experience pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. The meditative mind, the silent mind, no thought. That is pasati. All meditation is to reach that state. When you are in Pasati, means your mind is in Sati. And when you stabilize that Pasati, you will realize the enlightenment factor of Samadhi. Then with Pasati, Samadhi, and Sati, you will see things as they are, and wisdom will arise. Then when wisdom arises, the real equanimity, Upeka, born of wisdom, that is the real one, not the one in energy field. The one in energy field, you can only have it when you maintain the jhana or the absorption. But as you age, because your equanimity is a conditioned state not born of wisdom, your defilement, anusaya, latent tendency not rooted out yet, that's why that one is not the real upeka. The one in fourth jhana, in absorption, that is not the real upeka. So those who know how to meditate, they will know all this. Then when the real upeka arise, even when you grow very old, very weak, you don't have the energy to meditate, you still have the wisdom to be at peace. You are not disturbed. There is no fear, nothing. That's why those who do jhana, when they reach the old age, not able to maintain the jhana, then they lose their ability to do all the psychic and other things. There is fear. They panic. Then they ask themselves, what is happening? How come last time I got no fear? My mind so calm, so still. Now I cannot maintain it because the jhana no more. That mind state no more. Then there is this fear. There is this uncertainty, anxiety. Then they don't even understand what is going on. And they dare not even tell people at that time. So those that are born of concentration or one-pointedness or energy field, which is jhana and absorption, the equanimity or upeka, the calm state, the stillness of mind and all these things, these are conditioned state. They are not the true enlightenment factor of upeka. And that type of samadhi is not the real samadhi. They call it mitya samadhi, wrong samadhi. The real samadhi is the mind that is in the state of collectedness and unwavering. It is a free mind. It is not in apana samadhi. It is not in absorption. It is not a conditioned state. Is a free mind that is naturally collected and unwavering, very stable. The mind that is in sati, very stable. That is what pasati is all about. Then it will accumulate into samadhi. Initially, you need that samadhi to see things as they are, to awaken, to realize. Then after that, the wisdom take over and develop the ability to be at peace through the enlightenment factor of equanimity or upeka. Okay? So remember to relax. Yeah. You can, like you say, meditate, then your awareness is there, then you realize your this vibration, everything. Yeah? That means the heartbeat and all things. They are very strong. Strong means you put in too much effort, energy. Means you are fully in the meditation, which is the word in colon, inverted comma, means the thought. It's not a thinking thought, asana. That spiritual zeal that is driving you has become an effort. And that is the one trying to do. That's why you cannot break free from there. So to break free from there, you have to relax into it. Don't do anymore. Just relax. Then when you relax, all this, that strong vibration or whatever, it will relax itself. Then when it relaxes itself, it will become quiet, peaceful, until very still. And that is the pasati state that you need to realize. When you realize that, after that, don't do anything. Just silence everything and maintain that silence. Where you can feel your heart ready, you just maintain. Until you can't even hear any movement, any heartbeat. It's like you got no more heartbeat. But you don't panic. You still have heartbeat. But your mindfulness is not refined enough to feel it. That's why you will reach a state like there is no more movement. Yeah. Then the thought will arise. What is happening? Push it up.
The problem is I can't reach that stage yet.
Yeah, it's okay because you didn't relax. So now you understand that you have to relax. You relax into it. Then the key thing is, after you relax, that paucity, the silent mind will arise. You have to stabilize that. That's why you have to continue to relax and silent. No more vibration, no more movement, like everything has stopped. Continue to be aware. Then it will take you deeper in where you relax, aware, and you try to maintain the 24 hours. Then what happens is, this mind will enter sati. When the mind enters sati, then everything that the mind is aware, it is in sati. That's why after this stabilize, when you come out of the meditation, even while you are meditating, the subtle breathing will come back to you. Internal breathing. You are no longer breathing externally. Understand? The in and out breath no longer moving. The internal movement. They call it the internal breathing. Into your nature. Come down to your heart area. Very subtle. Then you start to have the mindfulness. The higher mindfulness. To feel all this. Then you realize, if you want to know, there is still thing to know. The subtle breathing, you can still be aware of it. Then every movement is like magnified. Like very little movement, but it's magnified. Then everything that you come to be aware, it is so clear. Like the whole thing is there. Then when you locate this mind anywhere in your whole body, your brain or whatever, you can go in. You can know which part is moving, which part is responding. Especially later on when you are in the midst of life, you go and eating, asam laksa or what. Which part of the brain activated and how you sweat, you will know. Then later on when you are sick, you can silent and feel which part is disturbing you. You will know. The doctor also need to put a stethoscope and check. You don't need. You can go in and check. Then you realize, everywhere you locate your mind, you are so sensitive. I even tried the rising and falling, because I want to find out. Then you know what happened? I was in the lying down posture. I went into deep samadhi, continuous mindfulness. And it was so blissful, so calm, so still. That's why everywhere you locate, the mind becomes very sensitive. Then later on, as you come out of your meditation, you realize you are fully aware, mindful. The mind becomes different. Then every moment of consciousness, there is awareness. All your seeing become different. You see with awareness. The awareness move with the moving car or specific phenomena aware. All the things that you come to be aware of, your awareness move with it. You are no longer like normal. Break here, break there, think here, think there, react, no more. The mind is just aware, flow. That's why you will experience a specific phenomenal awareness, the flow. Then everything you hear is aware. Smell also with awareness. Taste also with awareness. Feel also with awareness. That's why the mind becomes very sensitive, very different, fully aware. Then the hearing, everything is in sati. That is the stability of mindfulness. That is balas, power. That's why it gives you power. Power of mindfulness. Power to have that ability to be so sensitive. That's why I can feel my mind. I can feel every movement, every mind state. Then the suffering, the fine suffering inside, you can feel them. Every moment of awareness, perception, feeling. You're fully aware. And the mindfulness is so stable, you can be at the moment of contact. The mind doesn't move. You can be at the moment of feeling, it doesn't move. Moment of perception, it's like, tuk, tuk. You can stop there, but no sound. The mind is, it has the ability of doing that. Then you can be at the moment of consciousness, just aware, no labeling. No thought coming to labor, or perceive, or do anything. It can just stay there. That is the stability of mindfulness. That is what the true mind is all about. Okay? Yeah. So it's good. Yeah? Sadhu. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because without this condition, I cannot explain all this. Because hardly anybody do until like that. So this is what the real training and meditation is all about. And you understand, the whole of the training and the movement become very different. Then when you experience them, you will know what this thing is. That's why the Buddha said, this Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise each for themselves. There is no more doubt. There is no more thought involved. And everything is so clear. That's all. It's not only people cannot do. It is something that can be understood and realized by the wise who have this understanding, born of this type of training. That's why they will know. There is no more question or doubt, or check with the book, check with the monk, check with your teacher. No need. When it happens, the form and mind will know. Especially when you are in sati, the form and mind also will know. Well, that sati is different from what people teach. The noting type of mindfulness. Yeah, that is not mindfulness. That is the thought noting. Then when they say, I can see my anger, I can see my what, it's another thought seeing that thing. When you really aware of anger, there is no thought to see. You know what is awareness or anger? Or not? Yeah? When your awareness and the anger become one, understand or not? When you stay with the anger, that is fully aware. Not another thought watching, oh, you know, just now I was angry. I can see my own anger. That is the thought telling you. That is not sati. Sati means you're silent. Then the anger, which is a condition arising state, the emotion is still there. Then you stay with it. Next time you have anger, you do that. Silence, stay. It's always at the heart area. Then you see inside there a lot of stress, a lot of movement, the emotion and all those things. Then you continue to silence. Stay with it. Find out for yourself what happened. You will be amazed. If you can do that, within less than 1 minute, it becomes completely still and quiet. Then you realize anger is never me. Anger is a condition arising state. Through delusion, wrong view, through emotion, you stir. And this anger come about. That's why it's dependent originating. But when you stay with it, with the awareness, then you see it dissipating. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of anger is the very ending of anger. Like a flower. After it flower, fully flower, whatever. It will wither, isn't it? We got no more energy to flower. Understand? You don't feel any more delusion. Wrong thought. Thought energy. That's why you will cease. Then you realize exactly like what the Buddha said. Anger is not me. Dependent originating, condition arising. That's why you will trace the origination factor. Before anger arise, there was no anger. How did anger arise? It's either through what you see, what you hear, or what you think. These three are very powerful. And with wrong view, you stir. You become emotional. Then it arises. Then when it arises, what did most people do? Cultivator especially. Deluded people, of course, they don't know. They get more angry. But cultivator, you know what they do? Ah, yo, I still got anger. That is the most deluded meditator. I still got anger. Means what? He think he meditate so long, he should have wisdom, and he shouldn't have anger anymore. See? So foolish. But when you really have the wisdom, you cannot get angry. Understand? That is the real one. But when you are not enlightened, anger arises. It's normal, isn't it? You still haven't straightened your view. And you still cannot understand anger is a condition arising state because of your wrong view. You stir and react to what you see, what you hear, and what you think. So this anger is never you. That's why it's anatta, non-self, impermanent. They come and they go. When anger go, did you die? You didn't die. Then how can anger be you? Wow, some meditator, vipassana. Ayo, I still got anger. Ayo, something wrong. I must go back for retreat. That is what people do. Keep on going back for retreat. After 10 retreat, come out 1 week peaceful, after that anger come again. Square one. Because you are not doing it correctly. You have not developed wisdom. The only thing to free is wisdom. Understand? When you understand anger is not you, there is no more a problem, is it? So what happened is you have not had the right view. You have not straightened your view. That's why you react and you stir. That's why I teach you all to see things as they are. Means what? To be at peace with everything you see. How can you do that? You can only do that with wisdom. You must have this understanding. Think is just the way it is. You know the meaning or not? Very deep. Think is just the way it is. Means the world is the world. People is just the way they are. So when you can accept them for what they are, what happened? You don't get angry with them anymore. Yeah? They are just the way they are. Yeah? Angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people do deluded. There is nothing to do with right and wrong. Understand? Last time I stupid. I perceive them with negativity. Well, I got this conscience or inverted comma or view that you must be good. You must not be selfish. You must not be angry. All these are ideas born of the thought. Delusion. This is not wisdom. This is not understanding. Understanding is to see things as they are. Means the world is the world. The nature's law is like that. Condition like that. Things will be like that. I cannot want things my way. If I want things my way, which is not nature's way, born of nature's law, then what happened? When you cannot get what you want, what happened? Suffering will arise there. And that is so obvious there. So, this is how you straighten your view. So, next time when you see somebody doing all those funny things that make you unhappy, then you realize, oh, last time I get into problem because I perceive him with negativity. Well, I use memory. I recall through memory last time how he cheat me, how he do all those funny things to me, how he deceive me, how he say all those hurtful words that hurt me. So through memory, you arise and perceive him with negativity. Then why? What happened? You got angry with him. You don't like him. That's how your aversion come. Your evil root come. But when you understand that he is just the way he is, then you just observe him. Understand or not? Finish. No more story. Maybe he has changed. You also don't know. Well, you don't give yourself a chance. So you observe him. If he still do that funny thing, you have love and compassion. You pity him, for he know not what he do, like Jesus. Understand? He do all this is because of his own ignorance and delusion, his own selfishness, the evil root. And it will bring about negativity or karma. That's why you pity him. You have compassion towards him. You will radiate love and metta to him. Then you cannot get angry anymore. Understand? Then you can accept him for what he is. Then you need to shake his hand. You shake his hand. You need to say, sorry, last time I didn't know. I actually was deluded. I said all these things to you. I make you unhappy. See? You become very different. Then you can live life very differently. So that is what wisdom is about. That you can never get angry anymore, unhappy, because you understand this truth. People is just the way they are. The world is just the world. These are the reality. If I cannot accept this reality, I want things my way, I will become afflicted, miserable. I will suffer. Okay? Sadhu. Then we can end. Today the sharing is very good. You should thank Elsie for the good question. Okay, sadhu. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then you make your aspiration. Then we end. Recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed. The understanding, the rejoicing, the meditation, the straightening of our view, keeping of our precept. All these are very meritorious. Then our puja and all those things. So we will now share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata Chabhuvata Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditva Chirang Rakkantu Lokasasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhiya Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Keep your respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones.
Thank you.